Welcome back to our, I think it's our sixth podcast episode now. I might be wrong though. Thank you so much for joining us back here again and listening to our podcast. Today I'm really excited as I've got Emily with us, who is one of the team leads at Future Frontline and is a final year dental student. So would you like to introduce yourself to the podcast, Emily?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. So I'm Emily. As Tash said, I'm a final year dental student at the University of Bristol.
Amazing. So you're nearly there. Are you excited to qualify?
Yeah, well, it's all been a bit thrown up in the air because of COVID. But yeah, fingers crossed I should be qualifying this year. But yeah, we'll just have to see how it goes. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, I know. So what we like to do, first of all, is ask you, how are you doing today? We're in lockdown three. It's starting to get a bit lighter outside. It's now 4:10 and it's still not dark.
So yeah, I'm not too bad. So I've just finished my first lot of finals, which was a bit stressful to have to revise over Christmas and through lockdown, and quite challenging not having any of those sort of normal de-stresses that I usually have. So I'm a big hockey player and I've not been able to play hockey since start of November, and I never not play hockey during the winter, so that's been quite challenging. But no, I'm feeling positive. I've had my first dose of vaccine and, you know, things can only get better from here. I was really sad yesterday to hear about Captain Sir Moore passing away. That really upset me. But, you know, things will only, things will only get better in 2021, I'm sure. So, yeah, I'm not too bad. I hope you're well as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, definitely. I think that sort of feeling, you know, we're all just trying to persevere and get there, but at the same time, still difficult.
Yeah, it's been a tough year.
Yeah, definitely. So if we go back to the start, when you were applying for university, could you tell us and tell everybody listening, what made you pick dentistry as your degree?
Sure. So I've always been quite interested in healthcare. So both my parents are medics, so I've been exposed to medicine pretty early on. But when I was 14, yeah, I must have been 14, I got some orthodontic work. So I went to the hospital in where I lived back in Oxford, and it was quite a big department that had sort of maxillofacial stuff and orthodontic work. And I basically just loved my orthodontist. I just thought she was amazing. And from that, I got some work experience with her because a girl in my year's mum worked with her. So we sort of sorted it out that way. And I did a week's work experience with her in the hospital. And my eyes were just like open to how many different branches of dentistry there actually were. Kind of up to that point, I'd only ever been exposed to a checkup with my local dentist, and I never had any problems. So it was just sort of in and out, count your teeth, you know, all very nice. And I never had any issues like going to the dentist, but I was like, oh, is this all it is? And I kind of started to realize how practical it was and how you could build up a long-term relationship with your patients. So I think everyone, you know, feels like, oh, my dentist is lovely, and oh, you know, my dentist treats me and my mum and my dad and my brother and my sister. And what's quite nice about dentistry is that you go even when you're healthy. So unlike often when you go to see a GP, you'll just be like, oh, I've got this wrong and this wrong. But, you know, you can go see your dentist, and the dentist can do the whole package of care. So the diagnosis, the treatment planning, carrying out the treatment, seeing the long-term effects of the treatment that you've carried out. And the more work experience I got in general practice, the more I was like, actually, I think this is actually quite well suited to me and my skill set. And it was never that I didn't like medicine, and it was never that I didn't, you know, also think that was a fantastic career. It was just I liked dentistry better, so I ended up applying for dental school. So yeah, that's a bit of a long-winded answer, but there we go.
No, that's perfect. I think, yeah, I mean, you've explained it so clearly, and I don't think I hadn't thought about it in that way before. It's the sort of real continuity of care. And like you said, seeing patients when they're healthy as well, it's yeah, always a nice thing. So you mentioned that there are a lot of sort of pathways and specialties you can do as a dentist. Could you maybe just tell me, because I'm pretty clueless, having been for a regular checkup, and everyone listening, please.
Yeah, sure. So most people are exposed to like their general dentist. And the interesting thing about dentistry is that obviously in practice it's a bit, it's a business. while also being a part of the NHS. So you can obviously be a fully NHS dentist, you can be a private dentist, you can have a mix of the two. But you can also go and specialise in hospital. So you can go and do your 5 years at dental school. You do then a 1 year foundation year. Unlike with medicine, when you do two foundations, we just do one. And then after that, you can go and work in practice, or you can go and do sort of more foundation years in something that you're interested in. So it's called dental core training. And that could be in like restorative dentistry, that could be in pediatric dentistry, that could be in orthodontics, like I was interested in, or that could be a mixture of quite a few of them. And there tend to be sort of three of these years that you can do. So we call them DCT1, DCT2, DCT3. And you can do all of them, you can do a couple of them, whatever you want. And then from then you can start applying for specialty programs, or you can go back into practice. So it's very fluid. And once you apply for specialty programs, those tend to be like 3 or 4 years, and then you can end up being a consultant. But that's mainly the hospital stuff. But in practice, you can also have like special interests. So you can be like, oh, I'd be quite interested in providing more complex root canal treatments to my patients. So I'll go and, you know, do a master's program in endodontics, or I'll go on some courses, or I'd really fancy doing Invisalign, so I'll go and do an Invisalign course and I can start offering that. So it's quite, a lot of it is like investing in yourself and being like, actually I'd be really interested in doing this, but the other good thing is you can also be like, actually, you know what, I really don't like doing root canal, so I'll just refer them to my colleague next door. So it's very like, you can do a lot within the career. And that's something I never realized when I was younger. I thought it was how medicine is, because that's all I ever knew, that you just like either were in general practice or you went down this very long specialty program and it was very strict and regimented, and you know, then you ended up a consultant. This is a lot more like chop and change, and you can change your mind halfway through, or you can just, you know, it's just different. But I like the choice. And also a lot of dentists like will work in a couple of practices, or they'll do a bit of teaching, or they'll do a bit of research, you know, and have a bit of variation in their week. So yeah.
No, yeah, that was a really good explanation again. I think it's interesting how you spoke about sort of even dentistry in like a sort of, what's the term, a practice, not just in a community.
How you spoke GDP about... rather than GP.
Oh, okay. A GDP. So how they can have like a special interest, because I guess that's quite similar to GPs now as well. But I think one of the main difference that between dentistry and sort of medicine, the training pathway, it seems to be a lot more flexible, which definitely is needed potentially. So yeah, that's really interesting. So obviously dentistry is a really competitive degree to get into. So you mentioned that you did some work experience. What else did you do to build a strong application?
So I found that I just wanted to add a few things to my CV that were a bit different. So I often found that if things like didn't work out when I was younger, I always wanted to do something like better from the thing that didn't work out. So for example, when I was about, I think I was about 14, 15, I didn't get into the county hockey side, and I cannot tell you, I was heartbroken. I was like, I can't believe that this has happened. But what I did instead was I learned to be a hockey umpire, and that gave me so many skills, like communication skills, team working skills, body language skills, all of that kind of thing. And that I can talk about for yonks in an interview or on a personal statement. So got some work experience, did a lot of hockey bits and bobs. My school did the equivalent of like a what they called, like a, it's like short essay, what they called that you can write an essay on, like
EPQ.
Yeah. So I completely forgot the word.
That's okay.
We did one of those, but it wasn't to an exam board. So I did one exploring some ethical scenarios. So it was the ethics of PGD, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. So did a little extended essay on that. I did my Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award, did a few things with my school. And I basically, for the first like third, my personal statement, I spoke about work experience. So what I'd say with work experience is that it's not really about the volume that you do. So it's not about going to a practice for 6 weeks, it's about variation. So even if they can only squeeze you in for like half an hour, or even if you actually can't go and get work experience because of COVID, just like talking to a dentist for half an hour, or a dental student, or whoever you can speak to. I went to a private practice, an NHS practice, a mixed practice. I went to the hospital that I mentioned. And I also went to a dental lab, which I never would have thought to go to, but one of the people I did work experience with told me to go. And for those that don't know, the dental lab is where they make all of the components that you need as a dentist. So when you are seeing a patient and you're like, oh, they need a crown, you prep the tooth for a crown, and then you write a prescription to the dental lab for them to make the crown for you. So we can't be dentists without our dental technicians. And I went to this dental lab and saw what they were doing there, and it was a really like high-tech one. You know, they had all these like intraoral scanners and the equivalent of like a 3D printer but for dentistry. And yeah, so just got a bit of variation, tried to expose myself as much as possible to what dentistry was like. But yeah, just try and think of something that's slightly different rather than you know, I think there are so many people that are like, oh, I'm the captain of this and blah blah blah. Just, you know, go volunteer somewhere, or go and, you know, just find something that you're passionate about that you can talk about, because that's the most important thing. And when you're passionate about something, it definitely comes across. So yeah, those are the kind of things I try to put in there, but it was a little while ago now.
Yeah, amazing. I think I got sort of two main things of what you were saying there. So first of all, the work experience doesn't have to be directly relevant to your healthcare degree, or at first it might not seem like directly relevant. So, you know, I've heard of people who apply for medicine but have worked in a pharmacy, and similar to what you were saying, you went to the lab. So all these things are really important, and if you can show an awareness about it, I think, like you were saying, it kind of shows that you've got bit of a wider knowledge of sort of how the system works. And I think I actually got a message the other day on my personal Instagram being like, oh, should I try and get into the, I think it was like county or national, some kind of sports team, will that help me with my application? And I was like, I mean, first of all, that's amazing if you want to do that, but it's more what you learned from it. And you were talking about the hockey umpiring, and you were saying that whole range of skills that I'm sure you learned from that. So just because it's not, I guess a lot of people right now are worried because they're not getting sort of direct clinical exposure, but there are so 100%. Many other ways that you can learn these sort of I'm doing air quotes right now, I always forget that it's a podcast, sort of these really good skills and qualities that healthcare professionals need, like the communication skills you mentioned.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing when it comes to a personal statement or an interview is trying to back up everything you're saying with like a little bit of evidence. So rather than being like, oh, I'm a great communicator, you could be like, oh, through hockey umpiring I developed my communication skills because I had to do blah blah. So just trying to like reframe your mind and how you're going to answer questions, I think makes a big difference. But
definitely, and it's sort of showing rather than telling. So by sort of your hockey, you can show that you're dedicated and committed. The same as you, if you go and volunteer in a care home, you're definitely a caring person rather than saying that I care
I'm
about
really
people.
I swear I am. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I think you gave people a really good sort of ideas of what they can do. So if we move on to sort of what your life is like as a dental student, you know, could you start from basics? How long is a dental degree? What is it like? Do you have placements? Just tell us all about it.
Sure. So I do actually think this is quite important to like hear from a dental student, because I don't know about you, but when I was applying to dental school, I imagine myself being a dentist, and I shadowed lots of dentists, and I spoke to lots of dentists. It never seemed to cross my mind what being a dental student would be like. I don't know why, but anyway. So at Bristol, and bearing in mind that every dental school is slightly different, like every medical school is different, every nursing school is different, you know, they're all slightly varied in the way that their courses work. But generally at Bristol, we start with the like understanding of like how the human body works. So I think there's a bit of a misconception that dentists only learn about the mouth. Not true, I'm afraid. So we need to we need to understand our whole patient. So we learn anatomy, physiology, you know, we learn about how the body is supposed to work, and then we start building on it. So then in second year, we started learning about sort of things that can go wrong in the body. So things like pathology, and like pharmacology, like stuff that interacts with the body. And we learned about things like dental biomaterials, so like materials that we use in the mouth that can obviously interact with the mouth. It's really important that we understand what's in, you know, filling materials, as well as, you know, how they could interact. And then we start building up our clinical skills. So we have a lot of clinical skills that we have to develop over our five-year degree. And we start doing this on phantom heads. So we have a little plastic head with plastic teeth, and we each have our own sort of area with our own drills and our own instruments. And we do everything that we're going to do on a patient on a mannequin head first, so that we can practice it. And that it's a lot to take in to start with. Mm-hmm. And as we start building up our clinical skills in the lab, we then start seeing our first patients. So the first patients that we saw were relatively simple patients that say just needed gum treatment. And it's a lot to take in to start with. So we saw our first patients in second year, but I actually think they've just changed the Bristol course so that they see patients a little bit earlier. But I'll just talk mm-hmm. about my course, because that's the only one I know. And you know, I remember when I got my first patient in, I was so nervous, but you just have to start from basics, start from, you know, taking a good history, a medical history, a social history, a dental history, doing an exam, seeing what's normal in the mouth, seeing what's normal in the mouth, and, you know, being able to chart the teeth, being able to, you know, record whether their gums are healthy or not. And then you start building everything from that. So in third year, you then start learning about diseases. So we learned a lot about human disease, and it's really important that we understand like conditions that our patients might have. So for example, if a patient's diabetic, it makes them more likely to have gum disease. And if they have gum disease, they're more likely to be a diabetic. It's like a bi-directional relationship. And also if they're taking if they have a heart condition, if they have, they're taking bisphosphonates, there are so many things that can make a huge difference to the care that we provide. So it's really important to understand the whole patient. So that's what we learn in third year, as well as starting to learn about fillings and about crowns, about simple root canal treatments, about dentures. We start seeing child patients, we start extracting teeth. There's a lot that starts happening in third year. And then a fourth year, we build on oral medicine, which is quite tricky because there's a lot that can present in the mouth, and there's a lot of things that can present for the first time in the mouth. You kind of call it the gateway to the rest of the human body. There's a lot of conditions that we can pick up as dentists, because we're, you know, theoretically seeing our patients every 6 months. And there's a lot of things that we can see and be like, you know, that's not quite right. Or, you know, because you've got because you've got a condition on your lip, you know, it might mean that you're anemic, so I'm going to send you for a full blood test. Or, you know, picking up, you know, more serious things like oral cancer. There's a lot that, you know, a dentist can do, and it's very important that we don't miss any of these things. And then in fifth year, you know, theoretically you're supposed to start bringing it all together. Unfortunately, it's got a bit cut in half because of COVID, but you know, we're getting there. And that's when you're on clinic every day, you're seeing your own patients for all the treatments. So it's not just seeing them for gum disease or simple fillings, it's everything. It's, you know, full dentures, molar root canals, you know, every treatment that you'll be able to do when you qualify. And it's a lot to learn, and there's a lot to cram into a five-year degree. And, you know, there is a lot of exams, but it's very, very rewarding. And you spend so much time at the dental school with your friends. So there's about 70 people in our year, which is about standard for a dental school, and it's very regimented like school. So we're in the dental hospital pretty much every day, and it's slightly different at different dental schools, but here in Bristol the dental hospital's right next to the rest of the uni. So, you know, I don't live with dentists, I live with other students, and I haven't had to move away. I've got to stay in Bristol for the whole five years. I've been able to keep playing university hockey. I've you know, stayed involved with the rest of the university, which I think is so important. And you know, my days are normally sort of 8 till 5, 9 till 5, 10 till 5, and it's so structured. Like we have a clinic from like 10 till 1 and then 2 till 5, and we mix it up. And, you know, normally when COVID isn't going on, like, we all have lunch together and in the cafe, and, you know, there's a study area, and, you know, it's a really, really sociable place, and everyone gets to know each other so well. So it's very different to most degrees, in that it is quite regimented, and you have to, you know, have to stay quite organized, but it's great, and I love it, and I honestly wouldn't change it for the world. So
amazing. Yeah, I think when we first started talking, Emily was like to me, oh, I didn't realize how practical dentistry was, and now that you've just explained it, yeah, I can really see that, because I guess I'm sort of comparing it to my degree in doing medicine, even though in sort of I haven't got to fourth and fifth year yet, but from what I know of it, we're sort of in the hospital most of the time, but it's really sort of taking histories, taking bloods. We wouldn't really be doing like the surgery.
I think the biggest difference, to be honest, and the thing that I honestly did not realize, is we don't do a lot of shadowing. Like, when the patients come in, they're coming to see you. Like, you are their dentist. It doesn't matter that you're only in second year. It doesn't matter that you're only in third year. You're coming to see them. They're going to ask you questions, and if they ask you something and you don't know the answer, it makes you be like, okay, I'm going to go and look that up, and you don't forget it. And I'm quite a practical learner, so that works really well for me, but it can be quite nerve-wracking. You know, the first time you take out a tooth, it's like, oh my goodness, you know. I can't put it back in. But there's that, but there's also, the patient doesn't know that. Like, the patient is just coming to see you as their dentist, so it gives you a lot of empowerment. You're like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I've learned about this. Like, I've learned about it theoretically. I've learned about it in a textbook, and now I'm going to do it on a person. And that is what I'm going to do. And you've learned so quickly. Like, you know, taking a tooth out now, I literally do not bat an eyelid. I'm like, yeah, cool, I know what I'm doing. So it is really different. And, you know, we do a bit of shadowing in fifth year, but we shadow like consultants, and we shadow like things that we can't do as general practitioners. But, you know, there is a lot to take in, and we are really well supervised, don't get me wrong. Like, the, you know, our supervisor is always around, but we are trained enough, and we're competent enough, and we're signed off on the plastic teeth that we do know what we're doing, even if it sometimes doesn't feel like it on the inside. Like, you do know what you're doing, and it, you just develop your communication skills, your, you know, everything, and you learn to work with your dental nurse and everyone. It's a lot to take in to start with, but it's so rewarding, and, you know, it's great.
Amazing. It's so interesting because obviously doing this podcast, I've had the chance to speak to so many different healthcare students that I never have before, and, you know, asking them why did you go into that degree. You know, before we start the conversation, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm really happy with medicine, and then sort of midway I've changed. I wanted to be a paramedic when I spoke to Jess. I wanted to be a dietetic student yesterday, and now I'm like, dentistry is really good. But I just think that's why it's just so important to have the conversation, I think, so, you know, people can make well-educated choices about which degree is for them. And I think, like you were saying, I never focused on what actually being a medical student is like, which is definitely so important for dentistry and medicine in particular, because they're a lot longer degrees, but for all degrees. I think what you were saying about you feel empowered, because, you know, you're actually doing the treatment yourself, is really good. And I think that's something that at medical school we don't have as much. And if anything, it's completely the opposite. And we feel a bit of a waste of space at times, because of the amount of shadowing, I guess. I think that's one really, really nice thing. And I guess, like you were saying, the patients are expecting to see you, I guess, when they're booked in. They know that it's a student dentist kind of thing.
They're aware it's an undergraduate, and you know, a lot of them have been coming to the hospital for years and years and years and years, and, you know, they're so used to it. The only thing that's different for them really is that everything just takes a bit longer than it would in practice. And to be honest, for some patients, really like that suits them better. So particularly patients that are quite anxious, you can take everything really slow, you can you know, do the local anesthetic nice and slowly, you can talk them through everything in a way that a general practitioner simply doesn't have the time. So you know,
yeah, absolutely. And I guess you actually have time to sort of take more care over it even, and explain things to them. Amazing. So you briefly touched on getting the chance to work with dental nurses. So maybe you could talk about how dentists and dental students sort of fit in with the multidisciplinary team.
Yeah, sure. So I think this is what's so great about Future Frontline, is like highlighting the importance of, you know, the multidisciplinary team. So in practice, you interact with lots of different healthcare professionals. So for example, a very simple example, if you were wanted to change a patient's medication, or you were concerned about something, you'd be interacting with a GP. Mm-hmm. You cannot work as a dentist without your dental nurse. So your dental nurse is, you know, four-handed dentistry is so important. You know, you need to have someone there like suctioning away. You need someone like getting you the right instruments, the right tools, the right everything. And the dental nurse is there to make everything really, really slick. And there's loads of things that they can like specialize in. So they can like take all your photos if that's something that you, if they're interested in that, they can take your x-rays for you. They can honestly do so much. The other thing that's becoming a lot more prevalent, and what they're training a lot more people in, is number one, dental hygiene, which is your hygienist, and they do gum disease treatment, and they can do oral cancer screening. Patients can actually book themselves directly in with a hygienist without actually seeing a dentist, but people don't always tend to do that. And the other thing that's becoming a lot more prevalent is dental hygiene and therapy. So dental hygiene and therapy students do a BSc. It's a three-year degree. And once they qualify, they can do all the gum disease treatment. They can also do any type of filling, as long as it's not likely to turn into a root canal. They can do quite a lot of pediatric work. They can take sutures out once you've checked them. They can do so much stuff. So what is happening more and more is the patient comes to see the dentist sees them, assesses them, works out what they need, and they're like, okay, this patient has gum disease, I'm going to send them to my dental hygienist to get their gum disease treatment. This patient needs five fillings, I'm going to send them to, you know, the therapist that's in my practice. If you're lucky enough to have one, they'll do the fillings. And when that's all done, and when they're stable, and when they're happy, and you know, when they've had all the oral hygiene instruction from your nurse or your hygienist or your therapist, they can come back and you can make their denture, or you can make their crown, their bridge, all the stuff that like those people can't do because they haven't had the additional training. And you know, there's even like dental technicians. So I was talking earlier about the people in the lab that make the crown and bridge work. There's even specialist dental technicians that specialize in just making dentures, particularly full dentures, so complete dentures upper and lower. I think it might just be complete dentures actually, but because they're doing that every day, they are really, really good at it. Like they'll be able to make, you know, there aren't that many patients these days that don't have any teeth at all, and the more that you do something, the better you're going to be at it, so you can then refer a patient for that. So it's all about the team approach, and you know, making everything as efficient as possible and having the best experience for the patient. But yeah, we also interact with the oral surgery department, and we can, you know, if we want to refer them on to things, that there are lots of things that in general practice you can do. But if you're like, I'm worried that this extraction looks a bit complicated, or oh, this tooth has got a strange root morphology, I'll refer it to an endodontist. That's how it tends to work, if that makes sense. So you could call the oral surgery department and be like, I'm a bit worried about this patient because they're taking a blood thinner, they're taking, you know, something that might give them an infection afterwards, blah 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 blah. So there's a lot of multidisciplinary care, in the sense that you often want to ask for an opinion on something, or you can refer them to another person within the dental team.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think from my own experience, I guess sort of, I keep comparing it to medicine, but I guess when I go to the doctors at the GP, I'm either just going to see the doctor, or I'm just going to see the nurse. Whereas when I've been to my dentist, it's like the dentist and dental nurse working so closely together. Like they're almost one person, but not, that doesn't make sense. But so I kind of, what I've been asking other students is how much you get taught about the MDT on your course, but I guess you just get that actual practical experience. Or is there any other teaching?
Yeah, so we get taught a lot about, we do get taught about multidisciplinary care, because it's really important for us to understand the scope of what our dental nurse can do, what a hygienist can do, what a therapist can do, because most of the time, I think, unless they change it soon, but almost all of the time, the hygienist and the therapist need to do things under prescription of a dentist. So I will have to send off a referral to the hygienist. I'll need to write out the prescription for the local anaesthetic. I'll need to write down the steps of the treatment that I want them to do. And it's vital that I refer the patient onto someone who can carry out the treatment that's within their scope of practice. So we learn a lot about how that works. We get taught about specialties, about referring into hospital, about our scope of practice as dentists, and when it's important to refer in a dodgy looking lesion, when it's, you know, when we need to ask for extra support. So I think dentistry is good in that sense that we do get taught about how that works. But you know, it's a constant learning curve, and I'm sure there's so much more that I need. I'm yet to discover, but yeah, I do think we get taught fairly well about that, but when it actually comes to medicine, probably not so much. But
great. So I know we're kind of slightly moving backwards in time here, but are there any sort of common misconceptions or myths, maybe about dental students, maybe even about dentists, but maybe dental students primarily?
Sure. So the biggest thing that I get, which I know people are joking, but it does grind my gears, is why is dentistry a 5-year degree when all you learn about is teeth? A lot of people say that. And I'm like, thank you for that comment. But you know, as I've explained, like, we have to learn so much practical bits and pieces, as well as all the theory, as well as about the whole human body. It's not just about teeth, it's not just about the mouth, and you'd be a really bad dentist if you didn't treat the whole patient. So that is a very common thing that I hear a lot, like, you know, medics have to learn about the whole body and vets have to learn about every animal, but a dentist only has to learn about teeth. So yeah, that gets said a lot. Also, a lot of people are scared of the dentist. I think it's the most common phobia in the UK. And I get a lot of, why would you want to look in people's mouths? I'm like, well, you know.
Why would you look in someone's tummy?
Well, exactly. You wouldn't ask a podiatrist, why do you want to look at someone's feet? Like, you know, or an optometrist, why do you want to look at someone's eye? Like, well, I did think of that before I applied, like, you know. That does happen a lot. And also the other thing that everyone seems to say is, oh, have you seen that scene in Fresh Meat where the person's really hungover and they like drill through the person's cheek? I'm like, oh yes, I have heard about that. And no, I have not done that. Yeah, that gets said a lot. But no, like, dental students are, you know, we are so close, and it's so great hearing from other dental students. And what's been really fun over lockdown is loads of people have cropped up with a little like dental Instagrams, and like more, you know, more committees have popped up, and like connecting with dental students across the country has been really fun, like just hearing about other people's experiences and, you know, what's difficult and what's not. And it's been really challenging since we've come back, because a lot of what a dentist does is aerosol generating. So it creates little droplets. When we use a drill, it's so fast that we have to have a spray on it to cool it down. And unfortunately, because that's obviously in someone's mouth, that creates an aerosol that will then infect a whole room. And in dental school, because we're dental students, we're all in one room. So we have like 75 bays in one room on the adult dental health clinic. So we can no longer use those clinics for anything that creates an aerosol. So I can no longer just crack on with a crown prep in the middle of clinic. I now have to go into a side room with a one-on-one supervisor in a closed door. Everything has to be treatment planned really, really well. I have to have all the right equipment there. And, you know, the staff are limited, the rooms are limited, you know, and I still need to get a certain number of treatments done by the time I qualify. So normally we have sort of targets that we have to meet that have obviously had to be adjusted, but it's just difficult because I'm not getting the same experiences you know, most fifth year dental students would get. But we have to adapt. And, you know, the word AGP, I didn't even know what that was a year ago. And now I cannot tell you, my housemates are like tearing their hair out every time I say, I'm going to do an AGP next week, or my patient didn't come to my AGP slot. And, you know, they're like, Emily, shh. Like, Yeah, so that has been quite challenging. But you know, dental practice has changed so much in the last year. They would literally close. They were like just told by the government in March, like, oh yeah, you're closing. And they were like, are we? Okay, fine. And then most dentists found out that they were reopening on the 4th of June or whenever it was from the news. They weren't even, you know, it was everything changed so much. And dentists are seeing less patients because there's fallow times. You have to like wait for the droplets to settle before you disinfect the room before the next patient comes in. So you know, there's a lot of economic turmoil within the dental profession. You know, PPE is expensive, seeing less patients obviously has a big impact. And yeah, there are a lot of challenges within the dental profession at the moment, but there's also a lot of need. So there's a lot of patients that haven't gone for their checkups and you know have been suffering in pain for months. And actually over lockdown I was working for 111 as I wasn't at dental school, and the number of people that called about dental pain was actually unbelievable, like unbelievable. And they were like, can't get hold of a dentist, like we just there wasn't very much we could do for them. We had to give them contact numbers or refer them to the dental nurses that were working on as part of the dental team within 111. So yeah, that was quite eye-opening. And it was also really hard because I couldn't, like, I would know exactly what they were talking about, but I can only go off my script. So I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, it was
I'm not really
challenging.
a
But
dental student right now.
yeah,
Yeah,
no, that was certainly interesting.
I think what you've highlighted about, do you think that sort of, so you said about people being like, why is dentistry a 5-year degree? And sort of the fact that the government sort of closed dentists. And I was working, well, I was volunteering for a PPE charity in the first lockdown. And we had so many dentists sort of saying, you know, they were doing AGP generating procedures and they needed, you know, the FFP3 masks and everything. And I think a couple of sort of doctors are running this charity that I was working for, and I think even they weren't aware of sort of how important dentists are, maybe. So do you think it's a misconception in the healthcare professional even rather than just the general public?
Yeah, I think that is right until someone gets toothache. Honestly, I cannot explain to you like how debilitating having toothache is. Like there's you can't think about anything else. Like people, you know, the number of like A&E, so my dad actually is an A&E consultant, and he said the number of patients that he would get on a Monday morning that overdosed on paracetamol or ibuprofen or whatever because of dental pain was unbelievable. Like it's so debilitating. And as I said, like it's a gateway to the mouth. And yeah, I guess it can be a bit of a misconception. Like I don't like to think about it that way because I'm like, no, dentists are important. But
Absolutely.
yes, what we do isn't life or death, but it can make a massive impact on someone's quality of life. And I think that is really, really important. And
Absolutely.
also, it's not even just like whether they're in pain or not. Like the whole, you know, the way you can change how someone feels about themselves. If someone's not happy with their smile, if someone's not happy with their appearance, if they're embarrassed of the way that they look, if they can't go and see their friends, or every time they speak, they've got their mouth in front of them, they've got their hand in front of their mouth, that has a massive impact on their life. And if we can even change that a little bit, like, you know, I find that incredibly rewarding.
Absolutely. I think what you've highlighted, I think, you know, for all sort of future healthcare students listening, I think that quality of life is, you know, as if not more important than sort of this idea of saving lives on the day on the regular. I think that's just so in the past. I think, and like you said, the sort of link with maybe even like mental health and how, you know,
Oh, 100%.
people, I think, yeah, I just think that's really, I think that will be very eye-opening for, well, it's been eye-opening for me and I think will be for a lot of people listening.
Oh, thank you.
No, I think, yeah, I think that's great. I think it must be quite frustrating hearing those comments. I think, you know, I think as saying I'm a medical student, I think people have almost too much respect, but why don't they have the sort of same respect for a dental student? So what else do I want to ask you? I guess, so you've really convinced somebody now that they want to do dentistry. That's for them. So you spoke about how you built a strong application. What sort of advice would you give anyone sort of thinking of applying for dentistry in September 2022? What can they do during the pandemic? Are there any books that you've read? Any podcasts you recommend?
So I would say when I was first thinking about dentistry, I must have been, I think probably, I'd say about year 11, I was like, yeah, I think I might apply for dental school. And after I did my, obviously it was a bit different back then because I had my AS levels, but after I did them, I didn't do as well as I wanted to. And there were so many people that tried to put me off. Who were like, are you sure about dentistry? It's really hard to get in, it's really competitive. You haven't done as well as you thought you did in your ASs, blah 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 blah. And I would say if you're thinking about applying, just go for it. Like, just apply. You never know what's going to happen. And I would definitely tell myself to have more confidence in myself because I was like, oh, it's going to be terrible. And and I would say, as we were mentioning before, try and find a few things that you can talk about when you go on work experience or when you talk to a dentist or a dental student. Like, reach out to dental students because they're more than happy to chat away to you. Write down something that was interesting or something that you took away and have like two or three examples that you can be like, right, I can talk about this in a personal statement. I can talk about this in an interview. And I'd say I read the news a lot, like be up to date on this whole AGP thing because it's there's no way that won't come up in an interview because it's going to have such long lasting effects on dentists in general. I just started practicing like talking about dentistry out loud, talking about why I wanted to be a dentist, because when you first start saying these things, you just think it sounds so ridiculous. You're like, oh, I can't say that. I must sound, just practice, talking about things, find out about course structures, read a little bit about like current research. If you can find a bit of research that the uni's doing and you have an interview there, goes down really well. So I would definitely recommend that one. I think I bought a couple of interview books like off Amazon. Podcasts weren't really a thing back then, so didn't really I can't say I massively listen to podcasts, but there are so many resources out there, like so many amazing like YouTubers. There's a this girl Raina on the Cusp who's got the most amazing interview guide I've ever seen that's free download for
Amazing.
anyone who wants it, and she's doing like mock interviews. Anyone's free to message me on my Instagram if they fancy just chatting things through. Just finding out a bit of an understanding about what the degree actually entails because it is a long time and it is a bit of a commitment. But if you're thinking about it, just go for it and apply. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you won't look back in 5 years' time and go, oh, I wonder what would have happened if. So and don't stress about not getting work experience because no one can. So I think it's equally as valuable, listening to a podcast like this one or speaking to someone even remotely related to the profession will definitely help. So never think that something isn't relevant because I'm sure it will be.
Absolutely, I think that's great advice. So I just had something that popped into my head, which kind of interested to hear your opinion about. It's a bit of a deep and dark way to end the podcast episode, but I think it's important. So
Okay.
I think dentists have the highest rates of sort of mental illness in healthcare profession. I think that's right. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I remember reading about this when I was applying, and I was a bit confused about that one as well. And I think I'd like to think it's more of a traditional thing, and I like to think that it's not so much the case now. But to be honest, I think it was more the case for dentists who were quite isolated. So being in a practice by yourself, and not having any other interactions with other dentists, I think can be quite challenging. And it is stressful sometimes. And, like dentists in the UK are more sued than dentists in the US, which is, I was really surprised when I found that out. Like, litigation is definitely on the rise. But, things are improving all the time. Like, writing electronic records is getting easier than ever. And there are more societies out there and resources where dentists can connect and learn from each other. And I think I'd like to think that. Because as a society, we're becoming more and more aware of mental health, and because we're all talking about it more, I'd like to think that dentists will feel more supported. And if they were having a bad time or in a crisis situation, they would know like who to turn to and where to look for support. So I'd like to think it's more a traditional thing, but that's probably how that happens. Particularly as a healthcare professional, I think it can sometimes be difficult to reach out and say that you're struggling because you're you're the one that's other people are coming to, rather than the other way around. So yeah, that was probably why. But I'd like to put up, I'm quite optimistic about these things, and yeah, hopefully put a bit of a positive spin on it anyway.
And I think with sort of the, like you spoke about, these sort of more newer roles, if I'm right in saying, like the sort of dental hygienist and therapist, is that right? Hopefully the sort of MDT will be even stronger in dentistry, and that sort of support link is now there. You graduate this year, so what does the future in dentistry look like for Emily?
Well, hoping to graduate in 2021. So I'm hoping to start my foundation year in September. And I'm really looking forward to working in practice. And I'd like to think that I might end up doing a couple of like the specialty years, but I'm not really sure yet. I'm not quite sure what I'm good at yet. So I will... I'm sort of yet to find that out. But I definitely know that I would like to do... something with a bit of variation. I intercalated in global health, and I've always been really interested in dental public health. So whether I'll do a little bit of research, whether I'll work in a couple of different practices, whether I'll specialize, I'm not really sure yet. But you know, I definitely feel like I've chosen the right degree, and that I will find something that makes me happy. And you know, I'm very optimistic about the future, even though it's all been quite challenging in the last few months because of COVID. But you know, I love doing the degree that I'm doing at the moment, and yeah, I would just encourage anyone who's even remotely thinking about it just to apply and go for it. And if they have any questions at all, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Amazing. Yeah, and could you just let everybody know about your Instagram? Is that the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, I think Instagram is probably the easiest. Yeah, it's just one word, Emily Dental. Yeah, feel free just to put me a message, or you know, I can set up a call with you, or whatever you would like. I'm happy to chat to you.
Great.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
No, thank you so much. And yeah, thank you for letting people get in touch with you and stuff like that. That's really kind, and I would encourage anybody to take that up. Not too many people, but a couple. No, but thank you so much. I think, yeah, I mean, I've learned so much just by talking to you and listening to you and finding out about, which, you know, I think is such a shame that, you know, even a medical student doesn't really know what sort of my colleagues do in the dental department, which is just next door. So yeah, I'm sure everybody else will feel exactly the same who's listened to this podcast episode. Yeah, and thank you so much, and yeah, we wish you all the best of luck becoming a dentist. I'm sure you'll make a fabulous dentist. You definitely wouldn't make it a scary dentist visit, which is always good.
I hope not. No, thank you so much, and yeah, I just think Future Frontline is such a fantastic initiative, and I hope it continues to you know, help and inspire lots of people.